Perhaps it was forbidden meat. Perhaps it was meat that had been used in idol worship or some heathen worship. These young men had a choice. They could go ahead and eat the meat and drink the wine that was put in front of them and gain favor with the king and not get in any trouble, or they could refuse it and risk the anger of the king and being punished. But Daniel and his friends had the courage to say no. It would have been so easy just to say, well, you know, hey guys, let's just eat a little bit of it, and that way we won't get in trouble and the king will like us. It won't hurt anything, and we won't lose favor with the king. But that's not what they did. In fact, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. I'll tell you, it's a great day in an individual's life when a person comes to that point and they say, I have made up my mind not to do what is wrong. I'm not going to do what is wrong, even though the world is against me, even though culture is against me, even though everything else is saying it's okay. I made up my mind, I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to keep my word. The person, by the way, that learns to say no to temptation always wins. We've got ministries. Teen Challenge is one of them, to help people that couldn't say no to temptation. But we're teaching them the Word of God and the love of God and giving them a foundation so they can say no because they trust in Jesus and they stand on the Word. Well, you look at this situation, you might ask, well, what did Daniel and his friends get out of this? I mean, what advantage do they have by refusing to do it, refusing to eat that food and drink? The Bible says that they only ate vegetables. Get this along, there it is. Vegetables. They only ate vegetables and water. Vegetables and water, that was it. That's all they had to eat. By the way, if you Google Daniel's diet on your computer, it'll give you Daniel's diet books and all kinds of stuff out there people are selling that tell you how they're going to help you be healthy and lose weight. You know, there's always some angle to something in there. But look at this picture up here. Looks pretty good. That's what those men ate. The Bible says they were the only ones. They ate vegetables and they ate water. And the Bible says that the king noticed that these young men were looking so great, the color was wonderful, and they were healthy. He declared them to be 10 times better than all the rest of the wise men of the kingdom. Now that's amazing, isn't it? I know right now you're going to go home and eat nothing else but vegetables and water because I said that. That was the case because God's hand was with them. It was the case because they were making a stand for what was right before God. And God noticed that and He blessed them. Here's another image I want you to see. This fellow here is a fellow by the name of David Livingstone. He was the great Scottish physician. He was the great pioneer Christian missionary in Africa. He died in 1874. When he died, he was buried among England's greatest leaders in Westminster Abbey. And he was honored and respected by millions and millions of people. In the crowd that day of his funeral, there was a poor, ragged old man. And somebody saw this old man weeping, and they asked the reason for his tears. And he looked up and he spoke of this man, David Livingstone. He called him Davy. He said, Davy and I were born in the same village. We went to the same school. We went to the same Sunday school. We even worked at the same factory as young boys. But Davy went one way and I went the other way. We made our choices. Now he's being greatly honored, and I am a neglected, unknown, and unhonored man. He's been buried with England's greatest, and I have nothing ahead of me but a drunkard's grave. Choice. That's an important word, isn't it? It's a very powerful word. So I ask you today, what are you choosing? Who are you choosing? Are you choosing Jesus? Are you choosing everything that He's laid out for us? Are you choosing walking with our Heavenly Father and putting your trust in Him? Are you choosing the stuff of this world, making the wrong choices? We know this. We know that character is determined by our choices, isn't it? Choose God. Choose the good. And great things happen to us. But make the wrong choices. Choose Satan and the things that he offers us. And what a terrible thing happens in our lives when we make that bad choice. Another characteristic, we look at this man Daniel, is courage. We said he's the most courageous man in the Old Testament. While Daniel was in Babylon, of course, Nebuchadnezzar was king. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in this dream, he had a dream that he saw this magnificent tree growing up out of the earth. And the Bible says that the tree grew until it reached heaven, and it could be seen to all ends of the earth. It was an incredible, magnificent tree. In this dream, Nebuchadnezzar said he saw a holy one come down from heaven. And comes down from heaven, and he cuts the tree down, commands it to be cut down, and all that is left is a stump. Well, the king didn't know what this dream meant. So he called Daniel in to interpret the dream. And Daniel said to him, he said, "O king, the tree symbolizes you. You've grown great, and you think you've done it all by yourself. You're going to be cut down just like this tree, and you're going to be driven out with the beasts of the field to eat grass until you learn that God is ruler over all." Daniel went on to tell him, he says, "Now that stump remaining, that means that your kingdom is going to be returned to you after you have learned that the Most High God rules over the kingdom of men." Well, the king heard this prophecy and he heard Daniel's interpretation, and he just forgot about it. He didn't act on it. He didn't do anything. He didn't punish Daniel, because, you know, he could have punished Daniel. Well, how dare you say that to me? It took a lot of courage on Daniel's part to say that. A lot of courage. The king could have said, "I'm going to run you through with the sword. You're out of here." But he listened to him, but then he just forgot about it. And a whole year goes by, and the Bible says 1 year later, the king is walking around the palace, and he said, "I am such a great king. I have built all of this on my own might and on my own power. And what a great guy I am." But the Bible tells us that same hour, it'll happen here in just a minute. There it is. That same hour, he's bragging about how great he was a year later. He's deposed from his throne, and he begins to eat grass like an oxen. Can you imagine that? Look at that image of that guy eating grass. But the Bible says later Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself and he came to confess that God was indeed the ruler over the earth and over all the kings of the earth, and that all the kings on this earth were under the authority and rulership of God. Can I tell you, that is still true today. Everything we see going on in this world that looks so crazy and concerned about, guy in North Korea shooting off more missiles, you could just go down the list of things. But I'm going to remind you, God is still in control of everything in this earth. He's still in control of every king and every ruler in this world today. Well, it took a lot of courage for, again, Daniel to tell the king that these things, and again, you're going to go out and eat grass like an oxen. He says that to the king. That took a lot of courage. Daniel was not a yes man. He was a man that stood up before that king and did exactly and told him exactly what God put in his heart to do. He gave him the message of the Lord without any concern about the consequences. Well, later, as we go along in the story of Daniel, we see that Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, succeeds him on the throne, and Belshazzar is now king. And one night, Belshazzar gets a whole bunch of his buddies together. They're having a big party, and they're having they're getting drunk, just drinking and having a big giant party, and they took the gold and silver vessels that had been removed from the temple in Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar took all those very sacred gold and silver instruments, and he took them into this party. And they're worshiping and praising false gods and giving tribute to them while they're using these sacred things from the temple. when all of a sudden the room became incredibly quiet and everything got still because everybody looked up and they saw a hand, just a hand, not the whole body, only a hand. And when they saw this hand, it started writing something on the wall. And as it's writing it on the wall, nobody knew what it meant. They couldn't read or understand the words. And so the king's wife, she remembers Daniel. So she calls Daniel up to this party, into this big banquet room, and asks him to look at the words and tell the meaning of the words. And the words that were written on that wall were, "Meni, meni, tekel, usurfen." Meni, meni, tekel, usurfen. Nobody knew what that meant. But Daniel stood there under the authority and power of God in him and told the king, this is Belshazzar, he says, it means that your kingdom is numbered and finished, and that the king had been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and that the kingdom would be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that very night the king was slain, and Daniel's prophecy came true. The Medes and the Persians came in and took complete control of the kingdom of Babylon. Again, Daniel had the courage to speak truth, to stand for his convictions, to do the right thing before God. So should we, amen? We should have that truth and that courage to stand up, even though it seems like the entirety of our society is against us. Can I tell you, most of it is against us. We stand for God. They'll mock us for our beliefs. They'll tell us that when we speak the truth, as we speak the truth, they'll say, that is hate speech. We're going to make that illegal. You know, there's efforts to do that right now. You understand that? You're speaking the truth. That's hate speech. And they'll declare that our morals and our values that we take from God's holy word, they'll say, that nonsense is so divisive. Oh, it's mean-spirited. And you don't need to be talking like that. You're just a homophobic. You're a Bible thumper. You're a mean-spirited person. Because we speak the truth, they say those things about us as Christians. It would seem like the prophecy of Jeremiah is true even here today. In Jeremiah 5 and 20, if you look at the scripture, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that happening in our culture today? Our culture is turning everything upside down. Our progressive culture, our culture that is leaving God completely out of their lives and the Word of God out of their lives. So they take and they kill unborn children. They bless same-sex marriages. They bless the ideal that you can be any gender you want. You can choose it. They embrace transgenderism. They take all those things and they call them good and wonderful things. It's good. It's wonderful. It's just a beautiful rainbow of society and it's all okay. While the truth about these matters, according to the Word of God, that every one of those things are evil. They're an abomination in the sight of God. But they're doing exactly what Jeremiah prophesied would take place. Daniel had the courage to speak the truth, and he's a great example for us today. We must not be afraid to speak the truth in love to this culture around us. Well, that takes us to the next point, that is consecration. Darius the Mede is now the king, and he appoints Daniel as the first president over 120 princes in the kingdom. We read that in our opening scripture text. Well, now, all the other men were very envious and jealous of Daniel because the king said he's the first one to be named president and he's the greatest guy I got. And the king loved him. And so they were jealous of it. And the Bible says they could not find anything, any cause to bring against him because he led a consecrated life unto God. They couldn't find anything wrong, any charge they could bring against him. So they decided to set a trap for him through his loyalty and consecration to his heavenly Father. They went and talked to King Darius. They said, "Oh, King Darius, you need to set aside a period of 30 days where nobody can pray to any god or anything or anybody except for you, because you're such a great king. Well, that kind of made him feel good. It kind of expanded his ego, and it sounded wonderful. And he said, well, that sounds great. And he signed the decree that if anybody prayed to anybody else but him during a 30-day period, that they'd be thrown in the lion's den. Of course, he completely forgot about the faith and the trust that his buddy Daniel had in the one true God when he did this, because he was just thinking about himself. Well, Daniel sees this plot to destroy him. You think that kept him from praying? No, the Bible says that he would not let the king's decree keep him from praying. So he immediately went to his upper room, as was his custom. He's not there yet. There he is. We'll get it in a minute. There he is in front of that window praying. He knew what would happen when he did that, didn't he? He knew the law had been passed. He knew that they were out to get him, the enemies were out to get him, but he still was faithful to God regardless of the consequences. Oh, what courage he had! What an example for you and me! Well, when the king heard what had happened, because all of those folks ran to the king and said, oh, we caught Daniel breaking the law. Now, you, old king, you made this a law of the land, and if you don't enforce the law, then you're not a good king and nobody will respect you. And the Bible says that the king did everything he could to help Daniel, to keep him from having to be thrown in the lion's den. He spent a whole day doing nothing but trying to get some way to keep Daniel from being thrown in the lion's den. But all the rest of those other folks said, oh, king, you can't do that. You can't break your own law. So as Daniel is being led into the lion's den, King Darius says to him, oh, Daniel, your God will deliver you. Listen, this man who did not know Daniel's one true God had been around Daniel so much, and he thought so much of him, and he saw such great faith in Daniel that the king said to Daniel to reassure him, oh, Daniel, your God certainly will deliver you. That's a miracle right there. That says so much about that man, Daniel. Well, the king was just miserable, worried about Daniel. They tried to give him some soft music to make him feel better. He didn't like it. They tried to give him special food. He didn't want it. He was so miserable all night thinking about Daniel down in the lion's den. It said that early the next morning, get him in the den here. My battery's got weaker on me here. Help me out. There it is. There he is in the lion's den. Doesn't look too inviting, does it? He's there all night. The Bible says that Darius ran down there first thing in the morning. Ran down to the lion's den, and the first thing he did, he shouted out. He said, oh, Daniel, did your God deliver you? And suddenly he heard the voice of Daniel. And Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. What an incredible thing to say to the man that had him thrown in the lion's den. It represented that Daniel understood. He knew the king's heart. He knew the king didn't want harm to come to him. And his first words were, oh, king, live forever. King, you live forever because you know my God is looking out for me. You'll live forever, oh, king, because you know that God is able to do whatever I call upon him to do. And he's still able to do the impossible for you and me when we call upon him. He's still able to deliver and to meet the needs in our lives when we call upon him. What a lesson for us. Daniel was completely surrendered to God. He remained faithful when everything else was lined up against him. What a lesson for us that we follow the Lord faithfully and obediently, and he will be with us in every crisis. Sometimes folks get into trouble, and they get into trouble, and all of a sudden they call on their Christian friends or the preacher. They haven't been in church. They haven't read the Word of God. They haven't lived for Christ, but suddenly they're in trouble. They call those that they know that know Christ and say, oh, pray for me. Please pray for me. They never think about God until they're in a mess, until they're in a hole, until they're in a crisis. But Daniel lived for God And he knew even in crisis, God would take care of him. That brings us to the next, and that's conqueror. Daniel was a conqueror, wasn't he? Through his faith. The king, by the way, when all of this happened and Daniel was safe, the Bible says that the king took all of those men that had caused him to do that decree to throw Daniel in the lion's den. He took all of those men, all of their wives and their children, and threw them all into the lion's den. And the Bible says before their feet could get to the bottom of the den, the lions were breaking the bones of their body. Yeah. I want to be on the other side, don't you? I want to be on the side that says, I believe God. Daniel came out more than a conqueror. He came out more than a conqueror because every time a person stands up or stands out for God, it causes others to believe. It caused even King Darius to believe because of his actions. But if Daniel had given in, he said, I can't go pray because I'll get thrown in the lion's den. I don't want to do that. Then everybody would have looked at him and said, well, his God must not mean too much to him. There must not be much to his faith. But Daniel stood up and stood for God. He was willing to give his life for his faith. When you're willing to give your life for your faith, you're giving God a chance. You hear this? When you're living to let whatever the circumstances be happen, you're willing to let God have the chance to do for you just what he did for Daniel, to come through and to meet that need. And, you know, I believe Daniel had it in his heart, if God doesn't come through, I'm still trusting him. I'm still faithful. I don't care what happens. He is my God, and I'm trusting him, and he's going to bless me. We needed a new greeter after the passing away of Dale's dear sweet mother. She'd been our greeter since our church really had started, almost within the first couple of months. Geneva was our greeter. We needed a new greeter after she'd gone to heaven. I really had prayed about who our greeter should be. I just kept thinking about Neil DeMichelli, and it was the Holy Spirit. And I prayed and prayed, and so I contacted Nilda. And I told her that I really felt the Lord had led me to call her to ask her if she would be our greeter for our church and take Geneva's place. And she said, Pastor, I'm not sure. I've got some physical issues, and let me pray about it. I said, okay, sure, I understand. So sometime later, Nilda came to me, and she said, Pastor, I really feel like that I should do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to be the greeter. What she later told me was that she had had an ongoing and recurring extreme issue with her stomach and her intestines. And it would be so bad that she'd had to just stay home and couldn't hardly leave the house. And she was just so concerned that if she made this commitment, that she would not be able to fulfill it because of this physical issue in her body. But she said, I just felt like I needed to say yes. And she told me that once she said yes, that once she began to fulfill this opportunity to serve the Lord, that she's never missed church on a Sunday morning because of the issues that she had dealt with. Up to that point, it was constant. Sometimes you just have to take a stand to give God a chance to do a work in your life. Amen. I asked Nilda if she would mind my sharing this story, and she gave me permission. Sometimes in a crisis, we'll cry out, why is this happening to me? I can't believe this has happened to me. I can't stand it. Believers see that and they'll go, what happened to their faith? But if we say, I'm in trouble, but I'm trusting God. I know He's with me. I know that He's even going to cause this thing that is so hard to work out for my good. And with that spirit of faith, He'll do exactly that. Others will see your faith that is real, and you'll be a genuine witness for Christ. Well, in conclusion this morning, near the end of Daniel's life, God gave him a vision, a magnificent vision of things to come. And in that vision, in that last chapter of Daniel, it says it was a vision of a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. It's the final week of years of Daniel's vision of 70 weeks. The final week of years is the final 7 years. And this time of trouble is speaking of what we know today is the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. Now that was very disturbing to Daniel when he saw that. But the Bible says that God showed Daniel at that point, that he showed Daniel the glory of the resurrection, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And then God spoke to Daniel to comfort him and to bless him at the very end of his life. Look at these words with me, the words that he gave to Daniel. He says, Daniel 12 and 13, "But you, go your way till the end." That expression, "go your way to the end," means till your life ends on this earth. "For you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." He's giving Daniel a glimpse of the resurrection. He's telling him, just go your way and rest. Yes, you're going to die, but you're going to rise again. We have that hope in us today because of Jesus. We're going to rise again. We may end this life, but the hope of heaven is in us. The promise of the resurrection is in us. We will rise again to the wonderful inheritance that God has for you and me. Daniel, I believe Daniel was the most courageous man in the Old Testament, and he was promised a very rich, rich reward. There was a certain fisherman on the coast of Maine. This man was always trying to help everybody else out around him. One day, a group of tourists went out in an open motorboat that they had rented, and a terrible storm came, and the engine went out in the motorboat, and they were just floating offshore, and the waves were picking up, and they were facing death and destruction. This man saw it. So he got into his boat, and he rowed his boat with oars all the way out to where this motorboat was stranded. Then he threw a rope to him, and with almost superhuman strength, he pulled that party ashore. And when he got to the shore, he stepped out of his boat onto that sand of the shore, and his heart gave out, and he fell dead right on the shore. His wife came up to him, and she said, all his life, if he had anything that anyone else needed, he gave it to them. Today they needed his life, and he gladly gave them his life to meet their needs. You and I have a life. Hear me today. You and I still have a life. Jesus needs it. The church needs it. The lost world around us needs it. They need our light. They need our witness. They need our life pointing and showing the way that the only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. Jesus needs you. The church needs you. This world needs you. Let's give it away as Daniel did. Let's give it away, and there will be crowns of glory for us in this world and in the world to come if we're faithful, just like our example of this man, Daniel. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the incredible example of this righteous man, Daniel, of his faith, of his courage, of his consistent consecrated life before you. What an example for us today. Father, by your Holy Spirit, lead us in that same path. Let us walk in paths of consecration and sanctification. Let us walk in paths of holiness and righteousness, surrendered to Jesus. Let us walk in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let us walk in obedience to you. And Father, let us walk in faith. Give faith to us today to trust you in whatever circumstance we're in and to lean on you to meet every need. Oh, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. We ask you to do these things in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.